Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. Tio Soriel, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Soriel's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only, and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. Tio Soriel.
Welcome back.
Be that hot dog episode.
That's what we're going to call this one.
It's the hot dog episode.
Because that's what we were talking about during the break again.
We're not off of it.
Everybody said they can tell the difference between a beef hot dog and a regular hot dog.
I don't think I can.
But I can't. I don't think I'd be able to tell the difference.
Well, I would do a taste test, but I find the same issue with not all beef hot dogs that you do with beets. Can't do it.
Oh, dude.
Beets. I can't eat beets. I can't even smell beef.
It's a superfood. It is a superfood.
It's a super nasty food.
It's so good for you. And actually, I like beets.
Let me ask you, Scott. You actually like the taste?
I do.
Oh.
So, but my point is that people either love beets or hate beets. There's nobody like, they're okay.
Right. It's like I'll just take them. If they're on my salad,
it's a polarizing food.
It is a very polarizing food.
If the beet touches my lettuce, I'm sending the whole thing back.
Us talking about beets makes me almost want to gag.
100%. I'm with you on this.
Oh, you were okay.
But if they're near me and I would have to eat it, if it gets near my mouth, the higher likelihood I'm gagging.
So if we're out to dinner and I order the beet salad, I'm sitting next to you. Are you moving?
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly. Uh-huh. I can't. I mean, there's nothing to me. If there's beets on a salad, I don't want the
salad. Why would you ruin the salad? Yeah. No, I don't. Basically, what I'm thinking.
But to have an entire salad of beets.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Is just disgusting.
Okay, let's change it. Please, we have to.
Oh.
I'm trying to enjoy my coffee right now, and I'm thinking about beets.
So, so wrong.
How did you bring that up? Oh, there was a commercial for
commercial
beet.
Super
for the
beets.
Super beets, the superfood, because all that was antioxidants.
And beet candy. It was beet gummy.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Could that be any worse?
Would you like to suck a hard candy that tastes like a beet?
Dude, no. That's torture. That's horrible.
Well, but you know what? People are going to see that infomercial, and they're going to see the physician talking about how great they are, and they will buy.
Yeah.
Oh, and then they see the actors. They're like, oh, I take this stuff, and they're bouncing around. Like, I got all this energy during the day, and
super
it's
fit.
So good for me.
You know, none of that stuff is regulated. So they can say that beets cured cancer.
Oh, I know.
And they get away with it.
Well, you get back to my balance of nature, ground up vegetables and fruits. It's so good for you. It boosts your immune system. All right, where's the data on that, Doc?
Well, and how is that any different than just eating a helping of veggies?
That's probably worse. Because you're burning off all the natural
good
stuff.
All the essential vitamins and stuff.
Because it's processed. It's
P.T. Barnum.
The copper sleeve. Now, you know they have copper everything now. They have a copper sleeve, a copper face mask. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that.
Copper face mask.
What's the benefit of the copper in the face mask?
What's the benefit of the copper in anything?
Yeah, I know.
I tell my patients,
what's the benefit of the copper in anything?
I always tell the patient, it's not the copper, it's the sleeve. The sleeve is why your knee feels better. The copper in the sleeve has nothing to do with it. And now they have, or are they making a claim that it is now a deodorant or deodorizing? Yeah. The copper makes the sleeve smell better when you sweat. I don't know.
So you can fool your olfactory system as well as the rest of your brain.
Why copper and not
gold?
Right.
You know?
Platinum.
Because the smart,
platinum fit.
The smart people who went to school and got a marketing degree have done the research and said, well, if you do gold, it costs too much because gold costs too much. People won't pay that, but they'll pay this.
Copper.
They'll pay enough for copper that we can make a profit on it, but not gold that we can make a profit.
The marketing gods.
It's genius.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, do you remember the cold towel? If you dip it in icy water, it stays cold.
Yeah. Mm. For a while.
Yeah.
For a while.
So explain the physics to me. How does the towel get any colder than the ice water? It can't.
Right.
But yet they had all these stars that were endorsing it. They had Serena Williams. They had Dwayne Wade. Everybody was endorsing the cool towel.
Yeah, I know.
I'm so sorry. I was a science major in college. I just don't understand how that works.
Well, anyway. Except sports water is real.
What are we?
Sports water is very real.
That one is real.
Yeah.
It is very real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be looking for that on your shelf.
Inside
sports medicine.
I would pay a premium for sports water.
Inside sports medicine water.
Yeah. I heard you sleep better if you drink some sports water before you go
to sleep. If you drink this water, it will hydrate you very well.
And we have doctor testimonials.
Yes.
We have 100%. MD testimonials.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll hydrate you.
In a very good way.
Twice as much oxygen as hydrogen. Yes. Oh, no. Other way around.
Yeah. We got to get it right. We got to get it right.
Sorry.
Is that the science major
in
you?
that was the 6:39 in the morning me. Oh. Yeah.
Jim says beets are the main ingredient in Balance of Nature. Even the green ones? Because they're green pills and then they're the purple pills.
Right. The vegetable.
Yeah, the vegetable pills are green, so there's probably not beets. And that's probably in the, well. No,
dude, I cannot do beats. Ugh.
So you realize we just wasted like 8 minutes of valuable ticket time.
Well, yep. Beets.
It's a valuable conversation.
Do they have fried beets at the fair this year? That'd be a good one. Fried
dude,
beets.
I can't talk about beets anymore.
How do you? You asked this question earlier in the pre-production meeting.
Yeah.
Walking up here. How do you fry Coke?
I don't know.
I don't either.
But I remember that one year, that was like one of the main things. It's like fried Coke.
And there's fried butter, which I get. And there's fried Oreo, which I thought was awesome.
Fried butter?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. I guess it melts in the middle. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I'm kind of.
I may go to the fair today.
I'm kind of. I don't know.
And get a corny dog.
I get a corny dog.
But don't eat the dog. Just eat the corny stuff.
Well, that defeats the purpose. So we have. I want to say we have lots to get to, but I don't even know how to make the transition. I mean, how do you make the transition to something medical?
Just flip it up.
No.
Really interesting case yesterday. We did the procedure yesterday. Rob, our newest partner, did perform the surgery. And it is a procedure that maybe 10 years ago we were not doing. And it occurred to me, because I wanted to bring it up on the show, how medicine evolves, and all of a sudden you now have a fix for a problem that you never had a fix for. It was a hamstring injury where the tendon pulled off the bone. Now, we've all seen it, but 20 years ago, you were screwed. There really was not a surgery for that. Because we did not have the technology, we didn't have anchors. Mm-hmm. So now what we have is anchors that we can insert into the bone and then reattach the hamstring. And plus, the anatomy is a little bit awkward. You know, the sciatic nerves.
A little tricky back there.
The sciatic nerves literally in your field of vision. And there's nothing more nerve-wracking than that, no pun intended. But, I mean, he did a fantastic job. And it was, the hamstring was just pulled clean off the bone. Interestingly, mm-hmm. those folks always have mileage.
Oh, yeah.
So we were talking, and this David is a patient of mine for 30 years, like one of my very first patients in the 80s. And he was a scholarship long-distance runner. And I asked him yesterday, I asked him in pre-op, I said, how many miles do you think you've logged on those hammies? 60,000 miles.
That's crazy.
How long does it take a relatively avascular tendon to heal to a relatively avascular bone?
Well, so you're half wrong. The tendon may be relatively avascular, but the bone is quite vascular. So when you, part of the procedure is to.
Well, you've got to access the vascular part of the bone because the outside of the bone is not.
Well, so you get your curette out and you actually scrape and you.
Okay, create, you get down to the cancellous bone.
No, you don't go there because then the anchors don't really hold. Look, it's complicated. We don't. I don't want to talk about it at 6:43 in the morning.
Well, but
the point is, we did not have this procedure until we developed anchors.
Mm-hmm. Is it a metal anchor or a resorbable?
So in the beginning they were metal, mm-hmm. and I actually prefer the metal. But Brad used an all suture anchor,
Rob,
which was really cool. Did I say? I said Brad. I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
It's Rob. 6:43.
So he used a resorbable anchor.
I don't believe it's resorbable. I think it's permanent, but it's made of suture, permanent suture that doesn't dissolve.
Okay.
And when you pull on it, it balls into a ball, so it does not come out of the hole.
Okay.
Anyway, but look, now we're in the weeds again. It made me think this is something to talk about on the radio because. What was it? 20 years ago, we didn't have an artificial disc. Now we do.
Right.
50 years ago, if you're Gale Sayers and you tore your ACL, your career is over. Now we do. Joe Namath had to wear this clunky brace on both knees. Now we do. And you kind of wonder, looking down the road, how cool is it going to be when we start to develop fixes for all these things that now are unfixable?
Right? How many procedures that you do now? Do you do the same way as when you started in practice 30 years ago?
Very few.
That was going to be my point. So one of those kind of consumer things for our listeners, if the surgeon says, I've been doing this for my whole career and it works for me, technology advances.
Well, no, wait, because I've used that sentence. I've been doing it. But
you've evolved with materials and techniques and... You don't do it the same. You might say, I've been fixing ACLs my whole career.
There you go.
But like you just said, you don't fix them the same way as you did in your fellowship because technology's gotten better.
Right.
True. The big picture of how you fix ACLs hasn't changed. You take a substitute, you put it in.
Right.
Now you've got a new ACL.
And you've got to restore
the big picture. Right.
The big picture. So that hasn't changed.
Correct.
You're right. The technology of how to, my gosh, remember when we were back in the old days at Southwestern and we had an ACL surgery on the books? That was like an 8-hour case.
Oh, wow.
You had to have a town staff come staff you because none of our staff did ACLs. We used to let the tourniquet down at least twice during the procedure because it was such a long.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, but that now it's evolved into.
Outpatient
hour and a half.
Yeah.
All right, quick little break. Did we talk about anything this last segment?
Well, I was going to lead in, since you started talking about hamstring surgery, to my question about Christian McCaffrey. How does a well-conditioned athlete, who I assume is training their hamstrings, then pull a hamstring and now they're out for weeks?
We'll tell you when we come back.
All right.